ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. And I want to look at an event in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you know Jesus is a healer? And Jesus went around healing people, amen. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a matter of what kind of disease or illness that they had. Jesus was able and did heal those who came to him in faith. Amen. And so we want to look today at an episode of Jesus healing. Amen. And here he heals a deaf mute, and we see it beginning at verse 31 of Mark 7. And it's not so much the healing that we're going to be focused on as it is the testimony that comes forth following the healing. But every testimony, if it's true testimony coming from those who have been touched by God, it should give God glory. Testimonies that talk about what the enemy has been doing to you, and then simply end with but God is good. I don't know if it's a good testimony, amen? It's the goodness of God that we testify to, amen? Because it's the goodness of God that allows us to overcome. Doesn't the scripture say we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony? So our testimony needs to be overcoming words, amen? Words of power, words, oh God, that speak hope and promise unto those who hear. And so we want to look at this healing, but we want to focus as well on the testimony. Glory to God, the testimony that comes forward. Let's look at the scripture together. Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. It says, "And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he," talking about Jesus, "came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to your word now. And God, we ask you today to speak unto us and make it plain. Help us to understand, oh God, what is on your heart and what is on your mind at this hour. Father, we're grateful, Lord, that you are mindful of us. You are mindful of where we are, what we're going through right now, and Father, even what is down the road up ahead. Father, we ask you now to speak a word, oh God, that will cover us both now and as we go forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, our ears right now are inclined to you. But Father God, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive that which you have for us. And so we pray now that the Holy Spirit will just have his way in this place And that every word that is spoken from the throne room of God, that Lord, you will help us to come away with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, that we may go forth and do the word and not be hearers only. Father, we bless you right now for blessing us with your presence, with your word, with your Son, Jesus Christ, and for a time, O God, of learning, growth, and development. We declare this is such a time, and so we bless you and thank you for it, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our title, amen, is coming from verse number 37. And this is the testimony that we want to focus on here as Jesus healed this man who was both deaf and had a speech impediment. And our title is, Jesus Does All Things Well. Amen. Jesus does all things well. Amen. And that's the testimony that the people had of Jesus in verse number 37. He hath done all things well. The New Living Translation of that particular phrase says, everything he does is wonderful. I like that right there. Amen. Everything Jesus does is wonderful. So here's where we stand. Jesus, the people tell us, does all things well. Everything that he does it well. He does it with excellence. Amen. And let's see what happened here in the scripture text today. Amen. Jesus has come in to a place called the ten cities, the capitalists. Amen. It's not Jewish territory. He comes into a place of the Gentiles. That's what I love about Jesus, and I don't quite understand about Christian folk today. Amen. There are some Christian folk who believe that the only place that they're to go is a place where other Christian folk are. But Jesus didn't do that. Amen. So I wonder what's their example for that. I can only go where other saints are. Well, that's not what Jesus did. Amen. Jesus went into places, amen, where people didn't know God and didn't care about God. People didn't want to hear about God. Amen. He went into places where, you know, people were living lives that were anything but godly. But see, the Bible says, amen, that we are to be light in this world. Amen. In this crooked and perverse generation, we're supposed to show an example. So if folk are only going to hang around other Christians, who cares? I mean, light is only really beneficial in darkness. So you got all these Christians standing around each other with their light shining and everybody feeling good, singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." Why don't you let it shine over there? Because it's dark over there. It's dark down the street. Amen. We need to go around other people. How many of you know that? Don't stay away from your co-worker just because you know they're not saved. Maybe that's why you know it. Because God wants you to go over there and let your light shine in his or her life. Amen. That's what Jesus did. Jesus went out to where people needed him. Amen. We all need Jesus, but he didn't just come only and say, "I'm just going to preach to the Jewish people." Amen. He went into Gentile regions. And so here he is in this Gentile region, amen, and these aren't God's people. But yet they heard about him, amen. They heard something about Jesus, amen. You know what they heard? They heard that he could heal folk. Because they bring unto Jesus a man who had two issues. He was deaf, and he had a speech impediment, according to verse 32. And we get an idea of how deeply his speech impediment was because in verse 37 it says that not only does Jesus do all things well by making, it says here, both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. That means his speech impediment was so severe it was as if he couldn't even speak at all. Amen. It's like he was mute. So he had issues. How many of you know that?
Yes.
Deaf, and he can't speak. And so the people, though, amen, listen, he has a problem, but But thank God for the people. Because they know he has a problem, but they don't just simply talk about it. Man, you're in bad shape. Somebody say, well, what good is it to talk about it? He can't hear you. Well, what good is it to gossip behind somebody's back? They can't hear you either. So we don't always open our mouth just because somebody can hear us.
Right.
Sometimes we open our mouth just because we know they can't hear us.
Right.
But they didn't talk about him. Amen. What they do, at least, amen, they had enough compassion to say, we're going to bring this man to somebody we believe can help him. We're going to bring this man to Jesus. I mean, you know, that's the heart of God right there, amen. That we care enough about other people who have issues that we want to bring them to Jesus. And here he is, he got these issues, and these people bring him to Jesus, and they have a request. It's that they beseeched him. We got to focus on words here a little bit, because sometimes, you know, we read the passage and it goes real fast. They beseeched him. What does that mean? That means they begged him. They didn't just come say, Jesus, can you do something for this guy? Mm-mm. They came and said, Jesus, you need to heal him. You really need to heal him. He's in a bad way. Look, he's deaf, he can't speak. You need to heal him. Jesus, come on, heal him. I know you got something to do, but you need to heal him. They were begging Jesus to heal. Not because Jesus needed to be begged, but because that was the depth of their commitment to this man. Yeah, I know you're praying for me, but are you begging the Lord for me? Amen. Are you begging God to come into somebody else's situation?
Right.
Yeah, I know you look at somebody and go, oh, Lord, bless them today. Yeah, okay, I'm appreciative of that. But are you beseeching God? See, it's nothing wrong with beseeching the Lord. I mean, really putting some fervor and some energy into asking God to move on someone's behalf. How many of you have unsaved loved ones?
Yes.
Yeah, God, I pray that you will save them. Okay, good. But beseech God for them. Amen. Beg God to move on their behalf. Amen. Amen. They beseech Jesus to help this man. It's good to beseech sometimes. We don't use that word today. Amen. 2014. Beseech. We don't use it every day. Language, amen. Beseech. Stop beseeching me. You don't say that to your little kid. Mommy, can you take me to the store? Mommy, can you take me to the store? Mommy, you going to take me to the store? Would you stop beseeching me? We don't say that.
Right.
But we know what it means, amen. The Bible says they beseech. That means they begged. They were pleading. They were pleading. You know who could plead? James Brown. Brother, let's put his head down. He go. He ain't going there. James Brown, one of his famous songs was Please, Please, Please. You young people don't know nothing about that. Christian, you know that song?
Oh, Lord.
Google it.
You do know James Brown.
I just thought about that because the movie coming out on his life. Amen.
Right.
Amen. But James Brown knew how to please. 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 That's what he said, right? Please. 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 Some of us need to be, amen. We need to get some James Brown in us, amen.
Right.
If you're going to God, please. Amen. Move on behalf of my unsaved loved one. Please, amen. Move on behalf of my alcoholic father. Please, amen. And not just offering up these nice, polite prayers, amen. Beseech. Get ugly in the face. Amen. Say some stuff and, you know, stuff up flying out your mouth. Hey, somebody's life is on the line. Why do you want her being cute?
Right?
Amen. Beseech. They beseech Jesus for this man. Amen. And he had a specific request. Lay hands on him. Amen. They must have heard that.
See, by the time Jesus was in this town, he sent those demons into the swine. And when that happened, they kicked Jesus out. We don't want you around here. But now he's back, and something, they must have heard something in the meanwhile, where now they're glad to see him and say, Lord, help him. See, people don't always recognize the benefits of a relationship with Jesus the first time around. Mm-hmm. And some of us are like that. I mean, aren't you glad that Jesus gives you more than one chance?
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
To get to know him.
Amen.
Yeah, because there are a lot of people who reject him the first time around. Don't want anything to have to do with him. He came and he messed up their money. Ball of swine, 2,000, ran into the river and got choked. All they cared about was how much money went down the drain. They said, Jesus, you got to get on up out of here. Some of us are like that. Jesus, don't messing up our stuff. Amen. We don't want him around. But aren't we glad he's so kind and compassionate that he comes back around again.
Yes.
Amen. Some of us wouldn't know Jesus today if he didn't come back around again. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is not too proud to come back around again. That he don't hold it against me that I rejected him the first time. But he comes back around again. And so here he is back around again. And now they heard some stuff in the interim. Lay hands on this man. And so Jesus, it says, he takes the man aside from the multitude, away from the crowd. And then he does some things, amen. He takes his fingers and he sticks his fingers into the man's ears. And then it says, amen, that he spit. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Don't clean it up. Jesus spit. Don't clean it up.
Right.
It said he spit. Jesus don't spit. No, Jesus spits. Is that what it says? It said he spit.
That's right.
See, we like the Jesus that we have in our own mind. I like the Jesus of the Bible.
Right.
I like the Jesus who spits. I like the Jesus who makes mud.
Mm. Yes, he did.
I like the Jesus who overturns tables.
Mm.
I like the Jesus who looks in people's face and says, get thee behind me, Satan.
Mm. Come on.
All these people, Jesus, meek and mild. No. I like the one who take out the whip and start whipping folks. You better accept the Jesus of the Bible and not the one of your imagination.
Right.
Not the one that's comfortable for you.
Mm.
Because then you're going to start to leave out that part about Jesus who comes in judgment. Because you don't like that part either. No. Just accept Jesus as he is. And so he stuck his fingers and then. Amen. And watch this. And then he took some.
Come on, somebody.
Amen. Look at Patricia's face. He took some and put on the man's tongue. So how many of you know this was like a little spray?
Right.
In order to take some.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
I don't know how much he put on. And then he touched his tongue. And then he looked up to heaven, the scripture says. And he did something interesting after that. He sighed. He looked up to heaven. Amen. A Jesus who spits and sighs. See, I can relate to that Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And he sighs. And then all he says is one word, which is translated two words, be open. Amen? And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose. In other words, whatever impediment he had, speech impediment, was removed. Because now he spake plainly. Amen. I believe he was eloquent. And after he did this, he says to the people, don't tell anybody. And it says the more he told them not to tell anybody, the more they started talking. Because they were astonished, the scripture says, beyond measure. And they set forth the testimony. He had done all things well. He made it both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. So let's back up then and see how Jesus operated here, amen? Somebody is brought to him who's in need. By people who cared enough about that person's well-being. Cared enough to bring him to Jesus. And immediately, what did he do? He took that man away from the multitude. Amen. Sort of the way God takes us, amen, who he's trying to lead to salvation. He said, I got to take you away from the world. And see, some of us want to stay with the multitude. But it's God's desire, if he's going to do a changing work in your life, that sometimes and many times he's going to have to take you away from the multitude. Take you out of the world that you have been so much a part of so that he can do a new work in your life, right? There are people now who God wants to change and to fix and to build up and to strengthen, but they're too busy hanging on to the world that they're in. And God wants to bring you out from those people. Amen? Out from that environment. Why? Because that's where he's going to be able to do his transforming work in your life. And listen, please don't think this is just about, say, people who are unsaved. Because see, you can be saved and God still needs to get you out of where you are. Because you're in a bad way. You're in a bad way spiritually. You're in a bad way mentally. How many of you know you can be saved and still be hanging around wrong folks?
Yes.
So don't just take it for somebody who wants to say, oh yeah, well, I'm already saved, so Jesus don't have to do that. No, Jesus has to do that too. Whenever he needs to do a changing work in you,
right,
it may often come with a change in your environment. I got to get you away from him. Abraham, get thee away from thy father's house and from thy kindred. Why? God got something I need to do in your life. Huh?
Amen.
Sons of Zebedee, put down your fishing nets and come follow me. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Just because you are saved doesn't mean, amen, that Jesus doesn't need to get you out of your present environment so he can do a deep work in your life. Amen. So he brings him, and he brings him out, and then he takes him out to the side. And like we said, then he looks up to heaven. Many times we hear Jesus pray, you know? Before he called forth Lazarus, he prayed, Father, I'm glad you always hear me. I thank you that you always hear me. He doesn't pray here. He just looks up to heaven. Amen? And he sighs. And I don't believe Jesus sighed because he said, how am I going to do anything with this man? I don't believe it was that kind of sigh of exasperation. I believe it was a sigh of seeing this man in the condition that he knew was caused by sin in the world. Amen? Of seeing the effects of sin on this poor man that's before him. Amen? On seeing the depth of his need. Amen. And knowing that there's many more just like him back in the villages. Amen. But all, but right now, the only one that's in front of him is this man. And so he's going to deal with this man in the way he needs it. And so he just says to, he says, be open. Amen. But by looking up to heaven, Jesus let everybody, you know, folk were looking. Jesus took this man out from where the multitude was, but you know people were looking. And so Jesus looks up to heaven as a way of saying, what I'm about to do right now is not my doing, but it's the Father's. Amen? Yeah, you're doing some nice stuff, but do people see you looking up to heaven? Do they know that's where you get your power from? And do they know that's where you get your anointing from? See, you don't got to go around telling people, I'm about to go pray now. Just look up to heaven, amen? And then let people know that it's not about me. And you always point them heavenward. They want to give you the glory, but you're looking up to heaven, amen? Make them look up too. What are you looking at up there? I'm looking at my Father, amen? Don't look at me. I'm looking up to heaven. You look up to heaven too, amen? You go outside sometime. See if it don't work. Walk along with a co-worker and just stop and do this. And see if they don't stop and do the same thing.
True.
Want to know, why are you looking at me? Let them know, amen, I'm looking to the source of my strength, amen. God is the source of my strength. So Jesus wasn't looking to himself and even pretending that what he was about to do came from him. He said, the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. So he looks up to heaven and he sighs. He spoke, but he made sure this is coming down from the Father of lights, amen? From where every good and perfect gift comes from. Be open. And straightway his ears are open, his tongue is loose, and then he makes them open, and something funny happens. The scripture says that the people were astonished beyond measure. Why? Didn't they bring this man knowing he was deaf and mute? And didn't they bring him to Jesus so that he could help him? And didn't Jesus help him? So why are they not only, they're not even, it's not like they're surprised. They're astonished. And not only are they astonished, they are astonished beyond measure. I mean, they're like, oh, messed up. You see what Jesus did? Why are they like that? Why are they like that? What makes them so astonished that Jesus did what they begged him to do? Maybe it's the quality of the work. Huh? Maybe because this man, not only was his impediment removed, but he spoke with the eloquence of a king.
Yes.
Maybe it was not so much that his ears were unstopped, but he could hear things in the distance and say, you heard that? Then who are you talking about? Why were they astonished? Maybe it was because Jesus did it so quick. All he said was one word, and it gives this complete and total reversal in this man's life. I think it was all of that and more, but I believe the most important thing is something that's here, but you can't see it unless you look hard. Because his tongue is loose, he speaks plainly, his ears are open, and then Jesus says something in the very next verse. Don't tell anybody what I did.
No, we gotta tell people, Jesus.
This is amazing what you did. No, no, don't tell anybody what I did. And it said the more he told them, don't tell anybody. That means this was an ongoing thing. No, 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 please. Would you not tell anybody? Don't tell anybody. And I believe what made them astonished was not only the magnitude of the work that he did, but the manner in which he did it. In other words, he did something that was great, and yet did it with humility and with a grace that they couldn't understand. Because most people, they do the smallest thing, and they want what? Credit. They want applause of men. They want to be seen. They want people to talk about them. They want to tweet. They want to post it on Facebook. What I did today. What I look at me. Isn't that what Facebook really is about in the end? What I think, what I'm doing. I had a cheeseburger today. And it was the mom. Really? Who cares? Amen? I'm at the concert. Look. Taking selfies with somebody. Who cares? See, we do the smallest thing and we want to tell the whole world. It allows you to share. Share. That's a nice word. You know what I mean? Share. It allows you to tell people, look at me. I'm sharing. Imagine then, if there was Facebook here, and God used somebody to, oh, you can imagine the selfies. Huh?
Right.
But look at Jesus. Don't tell anybody. Wait a minute. Come on. Please. Keep it down. Don't. And I think of anything, they're astonished at the grace and humility of this man in the midst of the great thing he has just done. And it makes them shake their head and say, he does all things well. Not just the magnitude of the mission and the work, but the manner in which he does it. How many of you know you can do a great work and do it in the wrong manner? And it can undercut the work that you just did. Yeah, you did something that was really helpful to the household, really helpful to the church, really helpful on your job, but you ruined it by looking for credit. Looking for people to pat you on your back. Sending an email. Well, you know that coded language. Now you send them coded emails? That you just want to tell people what happened? But they know the only way it happened is because you did it? I met with a new client today. And I just want to let everybody know that as a result of that meeting, he decided to give us the account. Why don't you just blast it that I did this?
Wow.
Right.
You do things and people don't call your name, now you're mad. I've seen many people in the church, they made the chocolate cake for the thing. And nobody said anything about it, now they're mad. I'm not doing anything else for the church. Man, because nobody acknowledges you. It can undercut your good work when you want to be credited for your work. But look at Jesus. He don't want any credit. And what happens? They blow him up. They tell everybody. So they say he does all things well. Not only does he do the work well, but the manner in which he does it, with a grace, with a simplicity, with a modesty, with a humbleness, with a graciousness, that's astonishing. This is our example. Amen? Two things we want to say here, then we leave. One, the testimony that they have of Jesus, that he does all things well, is your testimony and mine.
Wow. Amen.
Hmm?
Yeah.
That's true. The scripture text we had today for our confession from 1 John 4:16-17. In the King James Version, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. But before it gets to that point, it says that if we abide in him, in love, it says God is love. And if we abide in him and his love abides in us, then we won't need to be afraid of the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. But Jesus abided in the Father. Amen. Look what he says in John chapter 14. Let's put a couple of scriptures together. It'll be helpful to us. In John chapter 14. Verse number 10. Jesus says, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Jesus says, I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. Look what he says next. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. And then he says, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. The Father that dwells in me does the works. And now, if you look at our scripture in our bulletin, amen, 1 John 4:16-17, it says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So if we live in love, we are living in God, right? It says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. We won't be afraid on the day of judgment. We can face him with confidence. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. But Jesus, all the things that Jesus did, the things he did well, he did it because the Father was in him and he was in the Father. So what is 1 John 4 saying? If that's how we live, we will be just as Jesus was in this world. Yeah. Amen? That means the things Jesus went around doing, we can do. Mm-hmm. Jesus said it himself. Right? These works and even greater works. In verse 12 of John 14, he said, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Mm-hmm. Look what Jesus says in John 17. The Lord's Prayer. He prayed for himself, he prayed for his disciples, and then he prayed for the church. And in praying for the church in John 17 and verse number 21, he prayed this. He said, I'm praying that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. So when the Father is in us and Jesus is in us, we are like Jesus in this world. Right? Because we're living in love and love is living in us. And then we're just like him. Amen. As he is, so are we in this world. What's the point? What are you saying? The testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is he does all things well. I want to encourage somebody today. That's your testimony. See, people are telling you, you can't do certain things. Or you can't do them at all, or you can't do them well. And that, the devil is a liar, amen? Because if Jesus is in you, and you're in him, then the same testimony, amen, you do all things well. That excellent spirit is in you. Some people think they can't do things well. You even tell yourself, I can't do this too well. I can't speak too well before groups. I'm not good at math. Science has never been my thing. That shouldn't come out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? I said that shouldn't come out of your mouth. Amen.
Because the same Jesus who does all things well dwells in you. And you can do all things well, what? If you let it work through you. See, some people, listen, see, Jesus said, if you abide, if we abide in God's love, amen? If we're one in Him, just as, right? He said, I'm in you, Father, you're in me. I pray that they will be one in us. See, some of them go, well, I'm saved. That's not the point that you're saved. You got to let the life of Jesus flow through you. You know what being saved is like? It's like being a hose that's connected to a wall hydrant. You know the thing on the side of your house? Mm-hmm. The wall hydrant? Mm-hmm. You know, you turn it on to go water your grass. Mm-hmm. Well, you got your hose hooked up to it, right? Take your hose, take it all out. You go all the way to the front of the house, or you're going to water the petunias. You got it all there. You squeeze on the thing. Nothing comes up. Why not? Ain't no water flowing through the hose. So what you got to do? You connect it, but ain't no water flowing through the hose. See, how many of you know? There are a lot of Christians who are connected to God because they're saved. But the question is, any water running through your hose? Amen? You gotta have it, not just, I'm saved. So what? Any water running through your hole. Out of their belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. But guess what? The hydrant gotta be turned on. Huh? And when you turn that hydrant on, don't you know your hose is all twisty and turny and all that kind of thing? But don't you know water can still get through that? Your life can be all twisty and turny and all messed up, but the power of God can still get through. And then when you squeeze, water comes out. Amen. That's the difference. Both people might be connected, but only one person is allowing the life of Jesus to course throughout them and bring forth water. Amen. And that's how we have to be. Stop being satisfied that you're saved. Be concerned that the water source is turned on. And when life squeezes you or you squeeze life, water comes out. Right? Because now the power of God flows through you. And when the power of God flows through you, I'm telling you something. Whatever you're doing, you'll do it well. I don't care if you're taking a test.
Amen.
Amen. Jessica, you got a road test coming up soon, right? Soon enough. Soon enough. You can do your road test well. You let God flow through you.
I don't know that God flows through you. Just God and cause.
You be open to everything, and then you pray into it. Lord, help me. Teach me. You don't think the Lord know how to drive?
Right.
Teach me how to drive, Lord. I know you take the lessons. Amen. Because a whole lot of people take lessons and don't pass the test. A whole lot of people take medicine, don't get better. A whole lot of people do a whole lot of things, and it don't work. Stay connected to God and be open to Him so that His life force can flow through you. See, there are a lot of Christians connected to God. They're connected to the water hydrant, but they don't let the water flow through. Let it flow. And when you let that power flow through you, the testimony of you is that you can do all things well. You are good in math if you let the power of God flow through you, amen. You can ace calculus if you let the power of God flow through you. You can pass that test. You can get the promotion on your job. You can do things that other people and yourself, you've been convinced you can't do if you allow the power of God to flow through you. Why? Because here's the testimony. Jesus does all things well.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And that includes working in and through each one of us. And He can do it in such a way that will leave us astonished beyond measure. You do something, I can't believe I did that. Glory to God. Right? Because He did
did that work.
Do not believe, listen, the scripture is true. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some of us translate that scripture into, I can do all things I'm good at. I can do all things that I'm comfortable with. I can do all things that I've done before. No. What is all? All means all. Now here's the thing. But see, for Jesus to work through you, don't forget about this man. Don't forget about this man. Because see, sometimes when Jesus works through you, it's a little uncomfortable. Can I stick my fingers in your ear? It's a little uncomfortable sometimes. Right. For the power of God to work through you, sometimes it's got to be a little uncomfortable.
Wow.
Right. Ooh. Say it again.
This one's for Patricia. And sometimes it's got to be a little unusual. Amen. see, sometimes the power of God ain't working through us because, see, we want to be comfortable. Wow. And we want it to be in a way that we're accustomed to. But see, sometimes, for the power to come, Jesus got to make us uncomfortable. It's got to be unusual. But if you want the stuff that you're comfortable with, you might be cutting off the power of God in your life.
Wow.
And your ability to do all things well. You got to let Him do it the way He does it. Amen? Even means that you got to get out your comfort zone. And you got to be a little uneasy. Do you really have to do that, Jesus? Amen. But if we allow Him to do that, He'll work through us, amen, and bring us to a place where we're doing things at such a high level of excellence. Glory to God.
Yes.
Where He'll give praise, amen, and you'll be giving Him the praise because you will have done that thing extraordinarily well. It's the power of God, amen. And that's the second thing. Not only can we do it, but He wants to do it for us as well. Amen? Amen. Now, no one here is deaf or has a speech impediment. Right? Well, you may have some other kind of impediment in your life. Impediment is just something that's standing in your way of progress.
Wow.
Huh? It's impeding your path. It's impeding you. You may not have a speech impediment, but what kind of impediment do you have? Maybe you got a financial impediment. Maybe you got a confidence impediment. Amen. I don't know what kind of impediment, amen, but see, all of us are trying to move forward in God, trying to move forward in life, and something's holding you back. Maybe your past is an impediment. People called you names in the past. People told you you couldn't be anything, and that thing is haunting you, keeping you from reaching for. I ain't gonna say the brass ring, because brass is judgment. Reaching for the gold ring. Maybe you got. We all have some kind of impediments, you know. We all have issues. We talk about the woman with the issue of blood. She had issues. How many of you know you got issues? I got issues. We have what? Issues.
Amen.
This man has an impediment. We have impediments. Things that are in our way, keeping us from moving forward. But I want you to know, amen, that sometimes, amen, listen, Jesus does all things well. Remember that. And let Him take you aside too.
Let him remove you from some people, remove you from some circumstances, remove you from some situations. Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes he needs to remove you from the thoughts in your own head. He's already looking around. Let's see, who are you going to take me away from? You looking. I ain't going to be talking to her for too long. I can tell you that right now. Jesus, I take me away. No, he's going to take you away from the thoughts in your head. Come here. Come over here. Let me bring you to a place where you can think different.
Yeah.
But let him take you aside. Amen. Let him take you somewhere. And then let him do the stuff that's uncomfortable and unusual. But I ain't used to that. Keeping you back. I've heard it so many times. People talk about what they're good at. What they can't do. But God didn't call me to that. Ain't about no calling. This is about you being delivered. Know the difference between being delivered from an impediment and a calling on your life.
Wow.
Let him do the uncomfortable. Let him make mud out of... Imagine how much he must have to make mud. That was dry dirt before he... Let him make mud and put it on your eyes. Let him put some on your tongue. Let him stick his fingers in your ear. Somebody say, Jesus, anything you need to do, I got an impediment. Huh? What's more important? Jesus, anything you need to do, I have an impediment.
That's right.
I have something in my way that's keeping me from making progress. You need to spit on me, spit on me.
Jesus.
Let it rain. Glory to God. You remember Peter? You ain't washing my feet.
Well,
if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. What Peter said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head also, amen?
Right.
Hey, if that means I'm going to be connected to you, Jesus, wash away, amen? If that means I'm going to be delivered, amen? Stick away, spit away, amen? Do whatever you need to do. I'm interested in all, and I know something, Jesus, that whatever you do in my life, you're going to do it well. Amen? Whatever you do in my life, you're going to do it well. So guess what? I'm yours, Lord. Do with me what you will. Amen. And then if we do that, we can see an astonishing turnaround in our life too. Amen. Things that kept you back for years, you're now free from. Things that you thought will always be a part of your life, God has removed them forever. Astonishing. Amen. Beyond measure. God wants us to be encouraged today. Amen. Jesus does all things well. Amen. And that same spirit of excellence dwells on the inside of you. But we got to let that power of his life flow through us. Amen. Sometimes that may mean we're going to be uncomfortable and all those types of things. We're going to be stretched out of our comfort zones. Amen. But let the power of God, because then you will be able to do all things well too. As he is, so are we in this world. Somebody needs to be encouraged by that. Amen. As he is, so are we in this world. Watch this. Why did you say you vote? Is Jesus vote? As he is, so are we in this world.
Wow.
Why are you claiming that you're sick? Is Jesus sick?
No.
As he is, so are we in this world. Why are you claiming you're confused? Is Jesus confused? As he is. But I'm not that way now. Just call things as be not as though they were.
Amen.
That's just scripture. Keep saying yourself. Because it's greater than Scripture, right? Say the word, amen? Call things that be not as though they were. As he is, so am I in this world. Amen? You're about to give your presentation. Devil's speaking in your ear, telling you you're afraid. Know what you go, devil, I ain't afraid. As he is, so am I in this world.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you're going to be like David. You're going to run through troops and leap over walls. Amen? That's Scripture too, for those of you who don't know it. Google that after you Google James Brown. Amen. Jesus does all things well. Amen.
Amen?
That's the point we take out of here today. Jesus does all things well. So guess what? I'm bringing all my cares to Jesus. Why? He's going to take care of them extraordinarily well. Amen? I'm availing myself to him and allowing him to work through me. Turn on that water, amen, to work through me. Why? So that I, in the Spirit of God, can do all things well. But watch this. When you do, how are you going to respond when people want to give you the praise, the glory, and the applause? What are you going to do? You're going to be just like the Jesus who does all things well and say, don't say no.
Amen.
Don't tell anybody.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to know. And the more they do it, the more you go, See, that's the spirit of doing things well, too. Amen. Not just the magnitude, but the manner in which you do it. But Jesus also wants to remove every impediment in your life. Amen. He wants to use you, but he also wants to work on you. Isn't that something? I need to work on you because you're not quite right. But my power is so great, I can use you even though you're broken. Right? I can use you, but I still got to work on you. And when I use you and work on you, I'm going to do it well. Amen? So guess what we say? Have your way, Lord Jesus. Amen? And we do it with the confidence knowing that what? Jesus does all things well. Come on, let's rest on our feet today. Amen. Thank God for it. For a God who does all things well. Amen? There's been a whole lot of attention on LeBron James. I happen to like LeBron James. I'm not hating on him. But as far as I know, he can play basketball.
Right.
He probably can do other stuff. That's the only thing I know he can do well.
Right.
Tom Brady can only play football. Tom Cruise can only act. A second thought, no, he can't. What's the point? The point is people who get so much adulation out there, some of them can only do one or two things.
Right, right.
Well. And yet they get all this praise and honor. How much the more should Jesus get?
Amen.
The one who does all things. Well. Glory to God. Come on, let's pray today. Father, we bless the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is our Lord, he is our Savior, and he is our King. And he does all things well. What a great testimony of the God of our salvation. He does all things well. When he prays and intercedes on our behalf, he does it well. When he heals us, he does it well. When he delivers us and provides for us, he does it well. He protects us well. He teaches us well. He guides us well. He leads us well. He takes care of us well. Father, we give praise and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we thank you, God, that the same Spirit that raised him from the dead lives on the inside of us today and allows us, as we dwell in you and in him, to do all things well in the earth. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And so, Father, we confess today, God, that as we walk in love and dwell in love and allow your love to dwell in us, We do all things well too. There is nothing that we can't do when we allow the power of the living God to flow through us. We can do all things well. We can overcome challenges. We can remove impediments in our lives. Doors can be opened, oh God. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for the power that allows us to do all things well. And as we do it, God, give us the same grace, the same humility, the same meekness of spirit that our Lord and Savior Jesus has. We need no attention. We need no applause. We send out no press release. It is simply our privilege to do your will, O Lord. And Father, we give you praise for it. And God, it's my prayer right now, God, that all of us under the sound of my voice, and even those of our families and our friends, God, Father, we're praying now, any impediments that stand before your people today, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that we will have enough meekness and humility of spirit to come before you today and say, Lord, do whatever you have to do to remove these impediments in my life, that I may move forward in you, that I may break the shackles and go forward in you today and have the liberty that Jesus went to the cross to give me. Father God, right now I pray that every impediment be removed from the path of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Remove every stumbling block. Remove every hurdle, oh God. Level every mountain, Father, in the name of Jesus. Cast it into the sea that your people may walk ahead with you in confidence and in boldness and be and do all the things that you have made them to be and do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you now for liberty. I thank you now, God, for freedom. I thank you now, God, glory to God, that the captives have been set free. Yes. Now, God, let us go forward. Glory to God. Let us go forward and both receive and dispense of your power in the earth, that the testimony will continue to rise up from the lips of those who know us and from our own lips as well, that our Lord Jesus does all things well. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks for the glory that you give in Jesus' name.
We serve a God who is able to do all things far above and beyond what we ask or think. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, no. God is